You're listening to a message from Victory Fort Bonifacio. Get the latest updates by visiting victoryfort.org or like us on facebook.com/victoryfort.
Viral. And we used some illustrations last week pertaining to Gangnam Style and all these different types of viruses, the dengue virus and all of that stuff. But there's one virus in particular that is heavily weighing down on our recent history. And the World Health Organization has chronicled this particular virus and checked out his history. And I want to walk you through a very quick run through this history and how it applies to this thing we're talking about, missions, viral. How does this apply? The virus I'm talking about is the HIV virus, the human immunodeficiency virus. It's probably the most researched virus of the current history of the earth, not just our nation, not just the United States of America, but all over Europe, all over Asia. It is probably one that is being looked at very intensively. If for those of you who may not be familiar, HIV is the virus, but AIDS is the result of that virus. If you contract the virus, eventually it can lead to what is known as the autoimmune disorder system, or AIDS. And many of you are very, very familiar with this, and it's spreading rather rapidly. And the reason why I wanted to bring this up to you is because there is an application to what we're talking about here as far as missions is concerned. Now, let me run you through quickly about the history of this. The first time the AIDS virus was ever seen was in 1977 in Copenhagen. And contrary to the myth, it didn't begin with males. It actually began with a female. And there was one person who contracted the virus, and the result of that is that person died. Now, the virus didn't show up again until sometime in 1978. This time it showed up in Paris. And this time the lady that died here was also one person, one death. As the virus progressed, it progressed and crossed over to the United States. This was sometime in 1980 already. It was like there wasn't a lot of cases between those 2 years. But by 1980, in the United States, they saw that there was a 1:1, but a little over a year thereafter, in May of 1981, the Center for Disease Control in Washington, D.C., monitored this and realized this was a fast-growing epidemic. It was an epidemic that began in Los Angeles. It was a minor epidemic. It was very particular to a very particular group of people, males, who were basically homosexuals. This is history. I'm not trying to bash anybody. I'm just giving you the history. Now, in July of 1981, the virus had spread no longer just in L.A., but now in L.A., San Francisco, and New York. And it was spreading at an alarming rate that the Center for Disease Control literally put out a newsletter and basically warning all hospitals and saying, we've got to track this down because we've got an epidemic in the breaking. And they couldn't explain it because what was happening was people were dying of pneumonia. But people don't really die of pneumonia. Pneumonia is a complication. It's a disease that leads to pneumonia, but this one didn't have one. Because at this point, they still haven't figured out what this virus was. Everybody following what I'm saying? At this junction in 1981, 160 people were infected, and about 88 or 50% have died. Viral. That's how virals work. It spreads. It just carries over. By February of 1982, it had gone from 3 states to 19 states. And from 19 states, it began with 285 people infected to 119 deaths. But the remarkable moment at this junction of the tracing of the virus was, it was no longer just homosexual men. It was actually infecting now both men and women, and people who were not necessarily just active in sex. And so it was really going rampant. Now, the reason why that happened was because people who were infected with it started donating their blood, and their donated blood infested some of the blood banks of the United States. Everybody following? Not a very nice story, is it? Are you still with me? Don't tune out. This is important. This is how important what we're talking about is. This is real life, folks. By 1993, 11 years thereafter, the United States had 300,000 people infested. And about 194,000 people have died. Today, The United Nations reports 34 million people are carrying the virus. By the way, you know me. You've been here long enough to know I don't shock you. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to give you facts here. And millions have died. Reason why I bring this up is because it's so easy to... This is the magnitude of what happens to... By the way, sin's like that. Sin is spreading all over. Now, there's three ways you can go about this. You can live in denial and pretend like it's not there, which is what most people will do. They're not going to stand up here and bring it up. And say, no, that doesn't involve us. That doesn't include us. That's for other people to take care of. The other thing you could do is ignore it. Pretend like it's not there. Know that it's real, but ignore it and don't do anything about it. Or there's a third thing you could do about it. You could actually go out and help someone. Reach someone. When was the last time you reached out to somebody who had this? By the way, in case you didn't know this, the Philippines, our country, is currently one of the top countries that has an alarming increasing rate. While other countries, it's going down, it's actually going up here. Are you still listening? You probably have a relative or a friend that you need to reach out to. This is real. In many ways, James, the book of James says, that's what sin looks like. It gives birth to more sin, and it spreads, and it spreads, and it spreads. And the amazing thing about sin, just like this was, innocent people, now you have babies being born with AIDS because their parents were carrying it. And it just spread and spread. And that, in some cases, that's really the picture of sin. We're born with it. We're born with it naturally. We're born with it globally. In other words, all over the world. It doesn't matter whether you're American, French, Japanese, Chinese. It doesn't matter whether you're rich, poor. It doesn't matter whether you're young, old. You're born with it. Historically, we know it. And that's why the gospel is also the same way. It should be naturally the antidote to solving the problem. It should be something that spreads globally. It should be something that's historical and should be something that's necessary in order to resolve the impending problem. I know this is heavy, but it is heavy. Sin is heavy. Now, last week we talked about to honor God. He said our mission statement is to honor God by establishing Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, socially responsible. We talked about churches. Today we're going to talk about churches and campus ministries in every nation. I'm going to try and land this. I'm going to try and explain to you why this mission is so vital and important to us. I'm going to center on not just the honor God part and the Christ-centered part, the Spirit-empowered part, social, but we're going to talk to you about churches, campus ministries in every nation. My text this morning is out of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Although I am less than the least of all of the Lord's people, this is the Apostle Paul speaking and saying, you know, I'm the least of all of these great men of God. I can say that of myself. I've only been in full-time ministry 10 years. I'm probably the least. I'm probably the among all these guys that are in Victory, I'm probably one of the ones that are new in this business. Some of these guys have been doing this for 20, 30 years. And that's what he's saying. He said, I'm in over my head. That's what he's saying. I don't really have the capacity to make this thing what it's supposed to be. He goes on to say, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles. This grace, he's talking about this empowering presence of God to be able to do what I can do and to preach to the Gentiles, to preach globally. When you say Gentiles, what that refers to simply is this. Everybody was either Jews or Gentiles. In other words, the whole world, reaching the entire world. That was the mission. I was called to do this with the boundless riches of Christ. I'm supposed to preach this. This is the antidote. This is the solution to all of sin in the world. This is the solution to this virus that's eating up the entire world, is this boundless riches of Christ. The amazing gospel of Jesus Christ. And to make plain, everybody say, make plain. To everyone. The way you make this plain, seriously, the way you make this plain, I remember reaching out to my friend that just posted in my Facebook. Just this post. It had a picture of me with Nick Vujicic. And he said, "This is my friend Joey Bonifacio." And he said, "I still remember the day. I forgot the number of years. I think it was X number of years ago, 20-something years ago." And this is a Facebook post. And he said, "I remember the day I was sitting in this man's office with his wife. And they prayed for me to become a Christian. And as I sat there," he said, "the Holy Spirit convicted me of my sin. This impregnable virus of sin was healed by the Holy Spirit." And in that post, I wish I had the post, but I didn't want to embarrass my friend, but he was talking about how he was a sinner, and he understood that because I made plain to him. I said, "You are a sinner." And the way this happens, folks, is not by a church like this and you bringing people to church, but by you, just like that moment, sitting with that friend. And he, 20 years thereafter, remembering very clearly that moment when the virus left him and changed his life. And then he goes on to say the administration of this ministry. He's talking about how this antidote is supposed to spread. He's talking about how to apply and to spread this thing that was hidden and kept when God created all things. Then he goes on to explain how this intent that was now, everybody say now, through the church. Not the institutional church, through you and me. This will spread through you and me as we bring it to other people. As we touch other people, the manifold wisdom of God to the community, our community here. When was the last time you actually reached out to somebody? That's missions. When was the last time you didn't feel a sinner was too dirty for you to reach out? Are you still with me? The manifold wisdom of God, he says. Wisdom of God, the power of God. You know, when you listen to these teachings that I'm doing here, this is supposed to impart to you who we believe. It's supposed to help you understand what you believe and why you believe what you believe. This is supposed to be the antidote that changes your character, your conduct, your behavior. This is why this is a progressive process of healing us and putting that antibody that causes this virus to be expelled from us. But you know what? Sometimes we've got to go and reach out to someone and plant that there. We who believe, what we believe, and why we believe. Because this is important. And he says to make known to him our character. That's how your character changes. When it becomes clear to you who you believe and what you believe and why you believe, your character, your motives changes. And finally, even your sense of destiny changes. I sometimes often or think about Victory. Next year, we're celebrating our 30th anniversary. And I'm reminded of the history of this church where a very small band of missionaries came here. Very small, and one guy stayed behind. One guy and his wife stayed behind and just brought this thing to a place where now it's almost viral. The 30 years thereafter, this thing is spreading. And I pray, as I've said to you last week, that we never lose that. And the foundation of that, folks, is this mission statement right here. The honor of God by establishing Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, socially responsible churches. Churches are necessary for us to have the foundation. This is it, folks. Whether they're small churches in China, small churches in Myanmar, small churches in Vietnam, wherever they may be, the foundation by which we will launch other places or to other people is churches. The more churches we have, the more potential we're going to have to launch and reach others. But the other thing we do is campus ministries. I'm reminded of the story of this young man from General Santos. And in case you didn't know this, our campus ministry stretches from the very top of Luzon all the way to the bottom of Davao and General Santos. We're probably now in probably close to 800, 900 campuses nationwide. About 300 full-time campus missionaries go inside these campuses and reach out to them. This particular story is with this young man who was reached in General Santos. But the fascinating story is his testimony. He says, it's a little bit different. His name is a little different. I don't know how to pronounce that name. I am Lowivi, a second-year student in Golden State College. I was born a Muslim and grew up in a Muslim community where my father is the keeper of the mosque near our house. I also grew up believing that Jesus is merely a prophet of Allah. This is a true story. Before I met Christ, I didn't have a vision for myself. I didn't know my purpose here on earth. And frankly, when it comes to my studies, my performance wasn't really impressive because I didn't review my lessons. How many of you are just like this guy? Sinner. I'm just like him. I don't review my lessons. In fact, I'm worse than him because I keep borrowing ball pens. I forget my ball pen and my notebook. I do have a palm so I can write, so I just need a ball pen. How many of you did what I did? Don't raise your hand. My performance was because I didn't review my lessons. I always relied on my classmates. I did that a lot. Every time we had quizzes or exams, I used to think that it wasn't as smart as my... I didn't think I was as smart. Now, but I'm so happy because the Word of God is true, especially when He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I met Ate Rachel, a real-life scholar then, who was practice teaching in our school when I was still in fourth year at the New Society National High School. That's where the engagement began. I want you to understand something. This has not happened in church as we know it. Not in an air-conditioned room, not with a pastor. This happened with one other girl who just graduated and is now practice teaching. She invited me to LifeMax, the youth service of LifeBox in General Santos. So she invited her to this event. I don't know if you can do that. It's not so hard. Then I met Kuya Alvin, another real-life scholar. He discussed to me about Jesus and did my follow-up. I thought he said, did my homework. No, he did my follow-up and my one-to-one. Because of that, I came to understand who God is in my life. Through those meetings, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Amazing story. I also started attending Victory Group together with other CAT officers. This is the CAT. Every Wednesday afternoon in school. And God is really amazing because when I enrolled for college, He gave me a gift that I'm so grateful for. I became a real-life scholar. When his father was asked, what do you think about your son becoming a Christian? You know what the dad said? This is the guy who keeps the mosque. Here's what he said. If my son is going to get closer to God, become a better person, and have a better life, then that's all that's good. I don't have a problem with it. How many of you know God deserves a round of applause for that? But the point I'm bringing is that there's somebody who had a mission heart. I was not expecting to be accepted because I know that they know I'm a Muslim and my grades weren't really that good. That's what you get for relying on your classmates. But God chose me. Now I have a vision for my life. I know my purpose to honor God and make disciples. It is so amazing how God changed my life. I used to rank the lowest in my class, but now I'm at the top. I believe there's no such thing as a dumb person if he tries his best, and most especially if he has God in his life. Through God's grace and Holy Spirit, who will help you to become an effective witness, I'm now leading my own Victory Group in my former high school, New Society. That's missions. I want you to read that. Don't read the fact that he graduated and he's going to graduate and he has all this money. That's periphery. That's good. It's not a bad thing, but that is not what this is about. It's the mission. The antidote was passed by one student to another student to another student, and he will affect other students. That's missions. That's why the church will keep growing. And when the church focuses on anything and other things other than this, the church will lose ground. The church becomes about protecting my own little bubble, my own finances, my own wealth. And there's nothing wrong with family. Protect your family. We're going to raise great families. But without a sense of mission, folks, we're going to lose something. At my present school, Golden State College, and I know I will not be able to do this without God in my life. Why do you want to reach campuses? Why is campus ministry so vital? Why is it so important? Because that's where the future is. If the church continues to just age, and especially in this nation, and my prayer at the end of this series is not just that you're going to get a pledge card. How many of you know, you already know this. Pastor Joe is going to ask us all to have a pledge card for the mission offering. How many of you know you were going there, right? But you know, listen to me. You're not going to do that because I told you. If that's not in you, you're not going to fill up that card. I've been filling up cards like this for almost 30 years now. And just about every year, it keeps going up. And it's not because I'm just generous. It's because I get it. But if you're going to reach the next generation, it's going to cost you. They're going to be in provinces. The vast majority of our nation are in the provinces. 65% of the nation are not in urban centers. They're in places like that. And you're going to have to send campus missionaries, and you're going to have events, and you're going to have, by the way, you're going to have scholarship funds. You're going to have a lot of things in order to reach those guys. But the point is not just campuses and ministries, but in every nation. Let me show you where the top 100 universities in the world are. This is why we do this in every nation. We just don't do this in Manila. We do this in every nation. The top 100 universities in the world are actually, most of them are in the United States. And these are the cities and campuses we're reaching right now. We still have a long way to go. As a church, we are part of every nation worldwide that's trying to reach every nation and every city and every campus to make sure we disciple. I was just told this morning by Pastor Jonathan that our outreach to Vanderbilt University Medical School is one of the leading universities in the world is because of our people there. We've got people in there that are reaching out, students that have been reaching out generationally to people there. And then he also told me that the guy that's, Pastor Jonathan used to be with our church in Nashville, and he's telling me that the Burmese congregation we have right now in our Nashville church, the guy who started it was one of the students from Pastor Carlos' church in Myanmar. That's how it works. When we started reaching Nepal, you know how it started? Listen to this. It didn't start because of an outreach. It actually started in University of the Philippines in Los Baños. It was Nepalese students that were reached by our students, and that's how the whole engagement began. In our churches in China, we used to have 17 Filipino missionaries that live there. They're all back in the Philippines. There's one left because every single one of those leaders are now Chinese. You know where we got them? University campuses. They're lawyers, business people, professionals, basically. Now, this is Europe. And these are the cities where it has one of the top universities in the world. Here's where we are. We've got a lot to do in Europe. Amen? How many of you know the Philippines is going to lead the charge of reaching the world with the gospel? And if the church doesn't get this, there's something sick about the church. There is. If the church does not have this chromosome or DNA or whatever, there's something sick about the church. And that church will not be there forever. It won't transfer, folks. It won't become viral. It's a lot to do in Europe. These are the cities where we have churches and we literally have outreaches. The University of Edinburgh, we're reaching people there. We're reaching the next generation presidents of insurance companies. We're reaching them now. Hello? We're not waiting. Now. You can do three things. You could be indifferent or ignore it completely or wake up and do something. If you don't go, at least pray. If you don't pray, at least give. But do something. This is Asia. Top cities. Unfortunately, the Philippines does not have a top university in the top 100 yet. We still have to disciple the educators and the builders of universities. One of the top universities in Asia is Sophia University in Japan, and we've got disciples there. We're reaching out to them. Joseph, my son, was just there and spent 10 days with our leaders, our young leaders in Japan, telling them, this is what we do. It's not easy. You know why? Because there is no money with students. Hello, how many of you know if you get tithes and offerings from the students, you get loose change? This is how this church began. This is how this church will continue to be. And we unabashedly told those students, you go and tithe. And you go get yourself a passport and get yourself a Bible because we mean business. And when we sent that to them 29 years ago, we're saying it again today. By the way, I love you. I just love the gospel more. This is Oceania, and I talked to you a little bit about Australia a few weeks ago. Unique nation, isn't it? Between New Zealand and Australia, there is about less than 30 million people. And yet, interestingly, these guys have some of the greatest universities. We've got to reach this nation. Good news is we're in four of these cities and we're reaching these universities. That's why I was just there. I was just trying to re-inculcate to our church that, guys, where are our campus missionaries? And the good news is it's all Filipinos right now, but one day we're going to have all these Aussies. But we're not giving up. And that's why it's expensive. These are the universities in the world. None in South America, the top 100. None in Africa, a little bit in Asia, a lot in Europe, a lot in the United States. We're not just targeting these, by the way, just to let you know, we're all over this country. We're in University of Makati. We are a campus ministry.